to the gallery. I acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land we're meeting on, the Wurundjeri and Bibbulmun people. I acknowledge and respect their continuing culture and the contribution they make to the life of this region. Also wish to advise that this has been recorded and will be published on the Shire's website within 14 days. We have Councillor Sly is absent. Public question time. This is when if anyone's got a question, which is different from the deputations that we're going to have later. And if you have got a question, you just go up there, say your name and your address, and ask it. And there are no questions. Members of leave of absence, Shire President Councillor Dean is also on approved leave of absence. There are no new applications for leave of absence. There are no confirmation of minutes as this is a special council meeting. No announcements from the residing member. Disclosures of interest. There is one from Councillor Hanson for agenda item 10.1, which is the amendment number 4 to the Shire of Nanup local planning scheme. Number 4, advertising proposed amendment. And the interest is a impartiality interest because I am the president of Friends of Community House, IG, which operates Nanup Op Shop, which provides the financial, administrative, governance and secretarial support. And the Nanup Op Shop is the current tenant of the United Church Building on Lot 37 Warren Road. Councillor Tang on item 10.1, the amendment to the planning scheme, and her name, she has an impartiality, as she is a member of the CWA, which benefits from the op shop funds. Agenda item 10.2, Lynette Curtis, Councillor Curtis, which is the development application for the tourist development. She has a financial interest in that she has a business that is similar and could be directly affected financially by the development, and she will leave the room when that item is being discussed. David Taylor has a financial interest in agenda item 12.1 because it pertains to his annual appraisal. No other ones that have yet to be handed? Thank you. There's no questions by members, of which due notice have been given. Now we have presentations and deputations. I have been told of two. One is from Tina Duncan on agenda item 10.1 and Todd Nelson on agenda item 10.2. So, Tina?
Thank you.
And if you, when you say that, if you let us know your full name and your address.
Yes,
and you've got a maximum of 10 minutes.
Well, you only gave me 5 before, so I'm not really short. That's what I was told.
If you need to go over the 5, you've got a full 10 minutes. And you have it, yes, sir.
It's quite all right. I've got what I want to say, and then I'll be out of here. Thank you.
Oh, is it appears to be on? Oh, it just dropped down to your level. Sorry, it's behind.
Thank you. My name is Tina Duncan, and I live at 58 in Kitchett Road, Carlotta. I'm the secretary of the Friends of the Community House, and I'm a volunteer at the op shop. Excuse me, I've got a cold, so my voice keeps coming and going. And I'm on the committee that oversees the running of the op shop. Our op shop is well known in the Southwest, according to the RAC magazine. And nationally, when Costa wore an outfit to the Logies, purchased it at our op shop 2 years ago. However, the op shop is more important to our town and community. We've been there nearly 6 years, and we've been in that particular building, and we've donated thousands of dollars to many people and groups around town. These groups include Friends of the Nanup Cemetery, the Nanup Historical Society, the CRC and the Community Bus, the Over 75's Christmas Lunch organised by the CWA, the Community Garden, the Nanup Lions Club, the Flower and Garden Festival, the Nanup District High School and the Nanup PNC, and the Breakfast Club at the school. The Community Kitchen, the Seniors Club, Friends of the Foreshore, the local drug alcohol action group to help run the youth zone, the Anglican Church, we help with their Christmas hampers, the Nanup RSL benefit from our donations, the Southwest Food Bowl and the Cancer Morning Teas. We've given money and clothing to a Ukrainian family fleeing the war in Ukraine. We've donated money to parents whose children have been injured and required hospitalisation incurred for some of their travel expenses, accommodation and bills. We've also helped other families with some of their funeral costs for their loved ones. We have welfare money at the chemist and the local supermarket for those in our community who are struggling in these hard economic times and need a helping hand. We've helped domestic violence victims with emergency packs of new underwear, toiletries and clothing. We also supply spare clothing at the local hospital for the patients. We have 21 volunteers working 5 mornings per week, which includes sentinel people who must work a set number of hours per week as a volunteer. We also have people from Serenian House who volunteer weekly as part of their program to re-enter the community. Our volunteers are the lifeblood of the op shop. They're always up for a chat or giving directions to tourists who are looking for an ice cream, a coffee, or lunch. The kettle is always on, ready for a cuppa, and our biscuit tins are always full. That's the human face of the op shop. I hope you'll take that into consideration when making your decision regarding the rezoning of the old United Church site. Thank you for your time.
Todd Nelson. Yes, you can do it jointly, but you've still got the 10 minutes between you.
Yeah, no worries.
And if you could just let us have your name.
Eva.
Ellen.
Yeah, Todd's partner. We're just kind of, I'm hoping it's a last ditch effort, really. Because obviously we're going to be really impacted by the proposed development right next to us. So we're facing 500 people a night, 24/7 hours operation, about 10 metres away from us. So obviously we're quite emotional about this. We've made written submissions. We've had no response. This has been going on for a couple of years. So this is our last ditch effort because I believe, you know, we're at a point tonight where you're making a decision on it. I guess there's three, we accept that, you know, progress is inevitable. We're concerned about the scale. We don't think it fits with the strategic plan at all. It's a third of the capacity of the population of the town a night in a little tiny space. We know that other people in the community have expressed their concerns about the safety of the road and the risks associated with the dirt track, which is deemed, you know, in writing as a two-way road, but in reality it's a dangerous one-way track that pedestrians and riders use. There's in the response from the developers, it says that they will advise motorists not to use that road. So that's the extent of their risk management around that road. We don't think that's appropriate. We haven't had our concerns about our privacy addressed at all. That's been deferred to a later date down the track, which is very ambiguous for us. It's like, well, what does that mean? Where are the safety rails? And the safeguards around these things actually being addressed. Probably the biggest concern is the water management. So in the agenda for tonight, the response is that that will also come later. So there's three things that are really concerning for us that will just come later. Magically, somehow, it will be ticked off. The water management as it is, we've sent photos in of the dirt track. Our property is flooded every year because it's inadequate what we have there now as a dry brook and the volume. So if the assumption is that the water from Moonlight Ridge will be diverted to Grange Road, the dirt section that borders our house, that will increase the volume. If the other plan to divert water from the new resort is to divert it to Grange Road, that will again increase the volume. So based on that, we're assuming that that will be the impacts of that on potential floods to us and the people that live downstream will increase threefold. That's just this is just an assumption, but there's not a plan there to suggest it otherwise. There's not a plan to mitigate this, there's not an effective plan to address this. It's in there as something that we'll get to later, and the box will have to be ticked before we open our doors. That's it. So we're asking for you just to hold off a decision until there's a decent water plan. There's our serious concerns about our privacy and safety. There's a driveway pointing right at a lounge room window. It doesn't need to be there. It's literally facing right into our property, a driveway. So headlights, pedestrians, cyclists, cars. There's a proposed footpath along the front of our property. So, we're kind of concerned that the impacts of this will be so detrimental, probably, with the development and then having 500 people next to us every night that we will sell and just bugger off to a quiet place. So it hasn't really been a decent consultation. Consultation kind of implies it's a dialogue with two parties, or it's an invitation to sit down and have a discussion. There's been none of that. There's not been one letter to acknowledge our concerns. That's probably a process problem that needs to be sorted out. It's problematic for us. It's at this stage, it's the plans are just really ambiguous and not good enough really for it to be approved. We would really like to see those things addressed.
So this at this stage is real issues with the gravel section of Dunnet Road, with drainage, infrastructure, just drainage in general is a problem. This has been ongoing for years, nothing's been done about it, and now we're going to have a resort with heaps more runoff, and the proposal is just to deal with that later. So if we're talking about planning here, I think we really need to have some actual clarity of planning, not just, we're just going to do it later. And I'd like to introduce the idea of the ongoing issues at Moonlight Ridge, where a similar situation has occurred. The problems are still going on because it wasn't clear, there was no clarity about was the developer going to do it, was the Shire going to do it. We get flooded every year now, and it's worse every year. We are going to be seriously impacted by having this resort next to us, and there has been no dialogue, there's been no real engagement with our issues. We'd like to urge you to investigate some of these
just
issues.
Just hold off a little bit until there's a proper, things are addressed. This water problem is addressed at least. Our privacy concerns, the noise and all of those things, are like, I don't know how you police that, but we'll just have to adjust to that. But this.
I'd also like you to look at the plan, this proposed entrance which faces us, and apparently it's just the exclusive use of the chalets. But if you look at the plan, the road just goes straight into the whole thing. That needs to the resolution of that is like the section to tell people not to drive on Durham.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. Anyone can see that it's not
yeah.
a clever, thought-out design. Durham Road really needs to be looked at, needs to be looked at for a long time. It's only a matter of time until something really bad happens.
We're hoping that it's on the record that we've been raising a lot with other names, that there's a significant risk around this road being used as a two-way road. It's a dirt road with a blind spot that is only wide enough for one lane. Cyclists and kids and dogs and runners and oldies, everyone is using that space and you can't see a thing. And I did, in our letter we did ask that maybe the councillors would walk that themselves or drive that section of road themselves and actually get a sense of the reality of it. Because one thing on paper is a lot different to the reality here. That's kind of what we're seeing. The traffic report is totally different to the reality of that road.
And I've already spoken here about the traffic report, and I remember a lot of the findings in that. It's just ludicrous, like the amount, the impacts are negligible. We already had a rezoning of the property on the other side of the road because it was zoned tourism, but now, oh no, the traffic's going to be too much, there's going to be too noise. If there's too much tourism there, but on the other side of the road we can have a much louder, bigger development, but there'll be no traffic impacts, that we want to be nothing. 500 people, a third of our Shire's population, if it's full, there'll be no impacts, nothing, you know.
Yeah, that's what,
like the
integrity of the
report
is not.
And I'd also like to mention, so I think, I don't know if this is right or not, but do we have enough water infrastructure and sewage for development for housing in the rest of the town? We're going to provide a situation where we're going to need heaps more water, heaps more sewage. Is that going to be at the expense of the growth of the town? Are we going to develop the town, or are we just going to are we going to be the little town with the great big resort next to it?
With no water.
So I'd really like you guys to ask that. I really feel that it's not time to make a decision on this funding because there's too many ambiguities and there's too many impacts that are ongoing. And I'll just reiterate, Moonlight Ridge is an excellent example of how things can go wrong. All the planning is not done, there isn't clarity, there isn't actual consultation. Like a letter to a few people that are kind of close to something. It's not consulting your community. It's just ticking a few boxes. So a lot of people, when we talk about these things, they don't have any idea what's going on. They think it's out on the Brockman Highway towards Augusta or something. Oh, that'll be great out there. But when you tell them where it is, like, oh, I didn't know it was there. So really feel like there hasn't been a lot of transparency, clarity. I guess that's behind the point. I think I really urge you to really strongly look at the infrastructure issues that we already have that are going to be propounded. What's going on? So. Thank you.
Thanks for tolerating my emotion.
Are there any one out there who wishes to do a deputation for the motions? Because we've had one on each of them against it. There's availability for someone to speak for either of them. No? Thank you. Now, move to reports. Officers, agenda item 10.1, which is the amendment number 4 to the Shire of Nanup Local Planning Scheme to advertise proposed amendment for the rezoning of Lot 37 Warren Road and Lot 38 Grange Road. We'll have a mover. Mover, please. Mover. Councillor Curtis, seconder. If no one else will second it, I will. Councillor Tang, the seconder. Thank you. Councillor Curtis.
This item is one that makes me have to put being a councillor before my heart. It meets all the criteria to proceed with advertising for the scheme amendment to rezoning lot 37 Warren Road and 38 Grave Road. However, by completing the rezoning, it opens it up to the possibility that Nanit will lose two important and much-loved community spaces. The applicant is justified in its application and has provided all the necessary information to the Shire of Nanit. There is no longer an active congregation using the church, and the community garden land is suitable for housing, which is in high demand in Nanit. The amendment is a standard amendment under the provisions of the Planning and Development Regulations 2015. If this item is passed today, it is important to remember that it is to send the item to advertising and to gain submissions from affected persons. These submissions will then be considered by council, and local government will then need to pass a resolution whether to pass the proposed amendment or not to support the amendment. Given all the reasons and Office of Recommendation that this is a standard amendment, I still have reservations and concerns in regard to how this amendment will affect the availability of community space in Nanit. It is scarce, with little options available for community groups. And given that today we've just heard that the community op shop have given funding to 19 community groups, and numerous individuals and people in need, I would expect that there would be detailed submissions when needed. I am going to support this item today for the amendment to seek approval to advertise as written in the Office of Recommendation, and I'll consider any submissions presented to Council as stated in item number 6 of the recommendation when I make future decisions.
This is an emotive item, and I note the presence of interested and concerned members of the community and chambers today. Last winter, when I was considering nominating for council, I sought the advice of Councillor Hanson, who told me that there would be times when I would be torn, that there would be times when I absolutely hated having to work within the rules and vote for something because the law said I had to. This is one of those times. The scheme amendment to rezone lot 37 Warren Road from the Civic and Community Local Reserve to the commercial zone with a density code of R40, and to rezone lot 38 Grange Road from Civic and Community Local Reserve to the residential zone with a density code of R30, is in keeping with all of the Shire's legal frameworks and meets all of the requirements under the relevant laws. The land is owned by the Uniting Church, and in accordance with the laws of this land, is theirs to do with as they wish within the bounds of the law. Council is aware of this, but for the purposes of the voice recording, I will remind the meeting that lot 37 Warren Road is currently tenanted by the Friends of the Nanit Community House for the Nanit Op Shop, one of the most active non-emergency community groups within the Shire. The op shop raises funds which are used throughout the community to assist and support our most vulnerable residents. It is the belief of many locals that the rezoning of the block from civic and community to commercial is likely to result in the op shop being forced to move at some future point. We have all read the officer recommendation and the comment the amendment does not result in any significant environmental, social, economic or governance impacts on land in the scheme area is, in my opinion, technically correct. The amendment itself does not result in significant impact. What will result in significant social impact will be the stated intention of the landowner to sell the land and make use of the funds for other purposes outside the Nanit community. This, however, is not something we as councillors are to take into account when making this particular decision. No matter how much we as members of the Nanit community might not want to see this happen, it is our duty, our sworn duty in fact, to act according to the law and support the recommendation, no matter how distasteful it may be to us as individuals. My heart says no, but my duty says yes, and in these chambers duty comes before all else. I must therefore support the recommendation as written, and outside of these chambers will give my support to Friends of the Community House in finding a new and hopefully better home for the op shop, as it would be to the great detriment of our community if we were to lose it.
Anyone else wish to speak? Councillor Brown.
Historically, lots 37, 38 were reserved and utilised for civic and community purposes that have benefited the broader Nanup community. While ownership arrangements have changed from being Crown grant land to free home ownership by Uniting Church, that long-standing community function of the land remains highly relevant to any planning assessment. Council should carefully consider whether it is appropriate for land that has historically served a public and community purpose to now be rezoned in a manner that facilitates commercial gain and the permanent loss or of scarce community use land within the town site. The officer's report places emphasis on the fact that the Uniting Church no longer has an active congregation in Nanup. However, this does not actively reflect the current community value of the site. The former church building on Lot 37 Warren Road continues to accommodate a community organisation that, as we heard earlier, provides significant social emergency support and welfare services to low-income, dependent, vulnerable and at-risk members of the Nanup community. These services are essential and, critically, are not provided currently by any other organisation within the town. It would reasonably be expected that a church organisation, given its traditional mission values, would prioritise the preservation and continuity of these community benefits above the pursuit of a financial return from redevelopment, particularly where doing so risks the loss of irreplaceable local support services. We heard Councillor Tang mention that the support of changing the zoning would possibly result in that op shop being moved to an alternative site. But where is that site? Rezoning the site civic and community reserved commercial creates a substantial risk to the ongoing viability of these services by the likely displacement or loss of tenure. In a small community with limited support infrastructure, the loss of this centrally located and accessible service hub could have serious and lasting social consequences. This concern is directly relevant to the Shire of Nanup Local Planning Strategy 2018, particularly Objective 2.2b, which seeks to encourage the sustainable development and expansion of Nanup town site to improve service viability while conserving or enhancing a strong sense of community. Rather than improving service viability, the proposed amendment risks diminishing it by removing land specifically reserved for civic community use, despite there being an active demonstrated community need. The proposal therefore appears inconsistent with the intent of the local planning strategy and may undermine the social cohesion and community resilience in the strategy seeks to protect. There is also limited evidence demonstrating a strategic need for additional commercially zoned land within Nanup. Council should note that a number of existing commercial zone sites within Nanup remain vacant or undeveloped, indicating that there is no demonstrated shortage of commercial land supply. In contrast, land reserved for civic and community purposes is limited, and once rezoned and redeveloped, it is unlikely to ever be replaced. Similarly, the proposed rezoning of the community garden site at Lot 38 Warren Grange Road would further reduce community purpose land and open space available for informal community activities. While these individually sites may appear small, collectively they represent an important component of Nanup's limited civic and social infrastructure. The officer's report itself identifies a high risk associated with the displacement of community groups and the loss of informal community space. Despite this, no alternative accommodation, relocation strategy or continuity plan has been identified for the effect of organisations or community use. Council could therefore reasonably conclude that the amendment prioritises private development outcomes over established community benefit, and that the proposal is inconsistent with the objectives of the local planning strategy relating to service viability and community cohesion. and that there is insufficient strategic justification for additional commercial zoning given the availability of undeveloped commercial land elsewhere in Anna, and that the loss of scarce civic and community reserve land is not the long-term public interest, and finally, the social impact on vulnerable members of the community has not been adequately addressed. I understand that this item relates solely to the initiating of advertising of the proposed scheme amendment for lots 37 and 38 and does not constitute a final determination on whether the amendment should be ultimately supported or refused. I also acknowledge that should Council resolve not to support the recommendation, the applicant retains the ability to request that Minister for Planning intervene and potentially override this Council's decision. However, I cannot consciously support a recommendation that could result in what I believe to be significant negative impacts current service provided by the Nanuk, to the Nanuk community, and it is not supported by a substantial number of community members. On balance, Council may determine that the long-term community, social and strategic planning impacts outweigh the potential economic benefits claimed by the applicant and therefore decline the support to support the proposed amendment for advertising.
I must completely agree with Councillor Brown. It is our duty to protect our people. People are more, and the church is always supposed to be for the people, not for themselves to make profit. So I'm speaking, voting the same way as Councillor Brown. Thank you.
I wish to speak to it as well. Please note that I've made an impartiality declaration on this item, as I'm a very proud and supportive committee member of Friends of Community House, Nanuk Bop Shop. This group is the current tenants of the church building on Lot 37 Lauren Road. Nanuk Bop Shop is a not-for-profit community organisation that runs entirely on volunteers and monies raised are put back into the Nanuk community. This motion is not to approve the rezoning of the Uniting Church properties, but to proceed to advertise the proposed amendment to the local planning scheme. It will then come back to Council for a decision. Should we not examine whether just because an owner seeks rezoning, then this should simply be supported because it fits within a planning scheme? The applicant, being the Uniting Church, seeks Council adoption of a scheme amendment to rezone Lot 37 Lauren Road, Nanuk, from the civic and community local reserve to commercial, and to rezone Lot 38 Grange Road, Nanuk, from civic and community to local reserve to residential. The amendment, if approved by the Minister for Planning, would enable the owners of the land to sell the land for development for commercial and residential use. The lots under the proposed amendment were unallocated Crown land used by the church in the form of a Crown grant held in trust since 1937. In January 2025, the land was transferred as freehold certificate of title to the Uniting Church. It is currently zoned for community and civic purposes. Under the prepared report by officers, under comment, it states, the scheme amendment request is supported and adoption initiation by Council is recommended. It states that on balance, the requested amendment has merit for various reasons and lists physical features which make the land suitable for commercial or residential use, end quote. The amendment does not result in any significant environmental, social, economic or governance impacts on lands in the scheme area. Why then has this land been zoned for civic and community use for the last 89 years if it was not a valid and worthwhile part of the planning scheme? What has changed that this land is no longer suitable for its current zoning? There are very few lots zoned for civic and community use in town with a real shortage of land and buildings for community and charitable use. We need more, not less. To have a valid reason to amend the zoning to allow for commercial and residential, it should need more justification than it can be done within the framework of the planning strategy. Why should it be done to the detriment of our community to advantage the current owner to, as they have said themselves, maximise financial return on the sale of the land? Does Nanuk need another commercial outlet? The op shop is providing a business to the community. It is attracting visitors as a tourist destination. It is contributing positively to the social support of the community. The question has been asked of me, what if the building was not being used by the op shop? Would the objection still remain? The zoning of the land for civic and community use is not dependent on whether the land is being used by a church or a particular charitable group. It enables and encourages future community groups to have access to that land for the benefit of the community. The owner of the land can lease or sell it for the uses allowed under the community and civic zoning. The op shop is a valued part of the fabric of Nana. It has nearly 30 volunteers who give their time to offer recycled clothing, linen and toys to our community. Through their efforts, $18,000 was donated this financial year to small community groups and programs in Nana. The shop leads the way in promoting sustainability, where clothing can be recycled rather than end up in landfill. As councillors, we've been told that if we do not pass the motion, then the applicant will take it to the minister and the decision will probably be overturned. Then if this is the case, why are we even given the responsibility of considering the scheme amendment? The fear of failure is not a reason to at least try to stand up for our community and to keep a zoning that has allowed that land to serve this community for the past 89 years. I do not support the motion. Now put the motion. Or do you want to write a reply?
No, I do. The words that have been spoken out, there's nothing truer. Honestly, it's a very, very difficult motion to speak on. But the only thing I say, I have moved the motion, so I will vote for it. Nearly being persuaded not to. I think I can change my mind, so I've got some thinking to do. But I will say, if it does go through, there's been some very, very good arguments put forward today, and people could, with their submissions, definitely talk to those people who have spoken against it today, to put your submissions through with some of that information. Would be very beneficial.
Okay, so now put the motion. All those for it? All those against? It's unanimous against. That motion is declined. Thank you, councillors. Now move to item 10.2, which is the development application for the tourist development, lot 500 on Brockman Highway, Nanup. Councillor Curtis will leave the room at 5:08 and not take part in the discussion or the voting. Require a mover for the motion. Moved by Councillor Brown, seconded. I need a seconder, otherwise it lays on the table.
May I ask a question? Yes. Through the chair. If this item is deferred on the provision of a detailed drainage plan, does that create issues of compliance or timing? What are we required to make a decision on this development application within a certain time frame?
Through the chair, I'm not exactly sure where it is on the timing, but I believe it has possibly already gone over, and I believe it was also agreed with the applicant that that could happen and that would be permittable. That being said, in the documentation there is a stormwater management plan that has been prepared by a certified person that does address those, and it is a condition in the recommendation that is continued to be prepared to the satisfaction of the local government. So there is a condition that covers that.
If no, there's no seconder for there, I will second the motion, allow for discussion. Councillor Brown?
This development application is not only a large-scale tourism resort for Lot 500 Brockman Hoe, but also a significant development application for Nanup, proposing a mix of accommodation, chalets, motel suites and a lodge, alongside amenities such as a restaurant, cafe, shops, recreation facilities and supporting infrastructure. The site is zoned tourism and is included in the Shire local planning strategy for tourism use and already has an approved local development plan guiding its development. Council previously approved the local development plan in August 2025, subject to minor modifications, and the current application is assessed as generally consistent with that framework and relevant planning policies. The development is intended to be staged and could accommodate over 500 guests at full capacity. However, this would be well done. Public consultation generated 7 submissions with concerns raised about the scale of the development, as we heard earlier, the environmental and water impacts, traffic and road safety, noise, light pollution, amenity impacts, servicing capacity, housing pressure for workers, and potential impacts on property values and local businesses. The concerns raised in public submissions are acknowledged, and I thank the Todd and Alan for their presentation today. And I do feel for them as well. This is not an easy decision to make. However, particularly in relation to the scale of development, traffic, road safety, environment, water impacts, amenity, noise, lighting and servicing capacity are well acknowledged. Ms. Watkins and Mr. Pickett made a comment also about nearby development not delivering on its initial outcomes, which we also heard from Todd and Alan. To ensure Council does not repeat the mistakes of the past, it is essential that Council's intent is to ensure that identified concerns are appropriately addressed, mitigated or mediated through enforceable planning mechanisms. In this regard, the recommendation includes 25 planning conditions designed to manage and control key aspects of the development, supported by a further 11 items of advice to guide detailed design and ongoing implementation. In particular, special conditions require the preparation and implementation of a stormwater management plan, waste management plan, lighting management plan to address potential light spill and night sky impacts, landscape plan, construction management plan, traffic management plan, dust management plan, bushfire management plan, bushfire emergency plan, ensuring that key environmental safety, amenity and operational risks are appropriately addressed. The West Australian Department of Water and the Environmental Regulation raised no objections but provided advice and recommended conditions. The proposal is consistent with the tourism zoning and approved LDP. It supports local economic diversification and tourism growth opportunities. It has manageable environmental and servicing impacts with mitigation measures. Requires careful management of bushfire risk, traffic noise and amenity impacts. While acknowledging the significant community concerns, the report concludes that the development is broadly acceptable, subject to conditions, and recommends conditional approval with a focus on managing risks through detailed design, operational controls and ongoing site management requirements.
Yeah. The development proposes a large-scale tourist development incorporating holiday accommodation, staff accommodation, being 10 chalets, 100 motel units and 40-bed lodge, and various other amenities including restaurants, cafes, children's playgrounds. The council at its ordinary meeting on the 28th of August 2025 approved a local development plan subject to minor modifications. The LDP was supported by a traffic impact statement, bushfire management plan and a local water management strategy. This DA development approval is the next step in that process. Schedule 1 of LPS 4 sets out development standards for the tourism zone are generally based on an approved LDP. This requirement is suitably met for this development application. The Shire Nanuk Local Planning Strategy states in section 5.4 tourism that its aims are to A, encourage the development of a wide range of tourist and recreation facilities, tourist accommodation and activities for visitors in appropriate locations within and near the Nanuk town site and in the rural areas of the Shire that appropriately address bushfire planning, environmental assets, landscape qualities and compatibility with adjoining land uses. And to encourage the establishment of businesses which attract and promote the Nanuk town site and the Shire as a tourist destination. The Shire of Nanuk Community Strategic Plan 2021 to 2036 identifies tourism as one of the strategic drivers. It seeks to attract more people to the district and supports a diversified economic base. A number of submissions were received which raised concerns and or opposed the application. The main concerns being around the scale of development, drainage, flooding, water management and associated impacts. Just a note that at the LDP stage, the applicant commissioned David Wills and Associates Consulting Engineers to prepare a local water management strategy. The Shire Administration and Council supported this, and this water management demonstrates that they considerably manage water quantity and quality on site without creating detrimental off-site impacts. The LWMS has modelled required mitigation storage areas for different rainfall events and provides confidence that the development footprint is suitable. And this water management thing is covered under condition 8 on the stormwater management. So I note the concerns of those who have spoken on it, but the experts have said, and that's been supported by government departments, that that is controllable. So we left that need to take advice from those people who make those rules and regulations. The other concerns raised, the amenity impacts including noise, loss of tranquility and incompatibility with the locality. And these, I can understand, these affect just all as individuals. The Dunnet Road access, the impacts on privacy and safety, the negative impact on the environment, traffic and safety impacts on the local roads. To address those concerns, 25 development conditions and 11 advice notes form part of this recommendation. These seek to minimise land use impacts and encourage appropriate neighbourly relations. And I think that's a really important words that are in there, neighbourly relations. I know that is up to the applicant and all of the neighbours around it, and I just hope that that can become a positive experience in the future. The management plan should address amenity impacts and address the responsibility for clients and visitors, behaviour measures to minimise adverse impacts on the amenity of the locality. Thank you. You wish to speak?
Yes.
Councillor Fraser?
One thing that you forgot to mention on point 8 was that the stormwater will be approximately managed and structured and to satisfaction of local government prior to occupation. Now, if you're going to build a big resort, put all this money and effort in, and the water cannot go anywhere, does that mean that the building cannot be occupied? It's a condition. We should have all this information flat for the people.
So, was that a question for the CEO or it's a statement? With a question mark?
Yeah.
Sorry, it's a statement. Sorry, carry on.
It says there, prior to occupation, so I would assume you cannot occupy the building unless there's a big water storage problem.
Okay, now, CEO. Yeah.
Sorry. Thank you, Chair. So it is prior to occupation, so one would think that that would be resolved before you start and commence construction, otherwise you could run into some issues of occupation if it was already constructed. So there are some detailed designs that would come out as attached to this. We would be referring that to our works department also for comment on those bits and pieces, and I would hope that that would be resolved. That's the idea of that condition, is to resolve that before construction commences.
Yeah, excuse me, Mr. Sear, but it says prior to occupation.
Can I hit the button? Yes, that's right. So one would think that before you commence construction, you would resolve the water management and have that signed off by the Shire beforehand.
Is that the water that they collect off the roofs of the building, or is that the water that's going to come down the valley on a very, very wet winter or a very dry winter?
I think you're asking outside the expertise. You're not a hydrological engineer or anything.
No, but it's for the whole site.
Right. Yeah.
I just asked a question because on every single picture I've seen of this development, they've got a straight creek. They do not have a winding creek, which the creek on the dry book is actually a winding creek. So we've been at this now for COVID time. This came to council and they have not changed their plans. And it's 9 months ago since we did the application, and still everything is written exactly the same way as it was before. There is no different things given to council.
Councillor Tan.
I note that in the advice, and I trust that all interested parties have downloaded today's agenda with all the conditions on it, the applicant is advised that this development approval is not a building permit. A building permit must be formally applied for and obtained before the commencement of any site and or development works. So this is not a final approval, is that correct? This is just another stage in the process, and interested parties have the opportunity to continue to raise objections and negotiate with both and consult with council and with the developer as this process continues. Is that correct, Madam Chair?
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Oh, sorry, let's not play that. Ready, I'll go through the chair, thank you. So if council agree to this approval today, then this development is classified as approved. The reference to a building permit is purely a building permit to make sure that what is being constructed applies with National Construction Code, and that's done through our building surveyor. That would not be a moment where others would have impact. That's quite literally a processing step inside. So if council do approve this today, this is an approved development approval which can commence subject to the conditions being met.
Thank you. So it's subject to all the conditions being met. I'd just like to confirm that for all present.
Yes, that's correct.
Thank you.
Right of reply?
Just in reference to the statement of prior to occupation, I would think that would be a significant incentive for the developers to get right in regards to the drainage plan and everything else as well. I
would like very strongly to hope that the developers will work actively with people who have provided submissions, specifically Todd and Ellen, in regards to the drainage, as detailed in item 8, drainage issues, the Dunnet Road, and their privacy specifically. But I would like to see that the developers, if this is given approval, that the developers do step up and consult with the affected landowners nearby. Thank you.
I put the motion. All those in favour? So it was four for it, nil against, carried unanimously. Yep. Just wait, Councillor Curtis, to rejoin us.
Thank you.
There's no motions of which previous notice has been given. So the meeting is closed because we're now moving into a procedural motion that the meeting be closed to the public on the confidential item. It's moved by Councillor Brown, seconded by Councillor Tang. Thank you to everybody in the gallery. Thank you for coming.
Yeah, and then he's got to wait on us.
We need a procedural motion that we open to the public.
Councillor Tang.
So moved.
Moved.
I second.
Tang. Seconded. Councillor Fraser. The writing is getting worse. All those in favour? We then not actually, we can open the door and if the public rush in, they rush in. And therefore, at, someone gives me the actual correct time. 5:38.
Sorry,
officially close the meeting.
Oh, that's fine.
Sorry, we had a suspension standing.